Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Fear the Walking Dead, Season 8, Episode 9, Sanctuary, and Episode 10, Keeping Her Alive. They are both over. And we, of course, are just getting started here on post-show recaps, even if maybe that would not be our preferred choice of activities. Yes, it is me, Jessica Lise, and because nobody should have to suffer through this alone, we have convened the full panel to talk about these two episodes. And we're going to start by introducing the gentleman that we all call Podcast Dad, but he would never leave us tied to a tree in the middle of a field of frozen zombies, Josh Wigler.
You know what? Don't test me. Push come to shove. I might do it. I was kind of with Madison at the end of this latest episode. Yeah, just like push a zombie onto this kid. Why not? Yeah. There's also a part of me that was like, oh, are they actually going to do it? Rob really should check Fear the Walking Dead out. Feeding kids to zombies again. This is good.
Yeah, I mean, we do need to at least show Rob the zombie crane.
Yeah, it would be nice if he saw the zombie crane. It would also be nice if we had anything that brought me the level of joy that the zombie crane brought me here in this second half of the final season of Fear the Walking Dead. Like, even in the vicinity of the zombie crane would be good, but 'tis what it is. Tell other people have things to say. Bring them in!
All right, well, I'm going to bring in the gentleman who I just watched his facial expressions. We all did a watch party for this last episode, and I just sat there and watched AJ's facial expressions change throughout the entire thing. And there was one point where we did a tandem facepalm. It was pretty cool. AJ, how are you feeling about that?
You know, I think Victor Strand, aka Anton, put it best at the end of the episode 10 by saying, this is not how you end this. This is not how you end this. We don't need any of this.
You know how I would like to end it? I would like to end it by just like not showing any more episodes.
There were at least three points during this episode where I thought just, you know, they could all just explode right now and I'd be happy. And it would have been
another nuclear bomb.
Man, yeah.
Rocks fall, we'll everyone
it.
Dies.
We'll get into it. Bring Chappelle in.
I'll bring Chappelle in because Chappelle is of course,
no.
We have voted Chappelle person most likely to have a SWAT van full of people dressed like him and emulating his lifestyle.
The Alicia cult was my favorite thing of all time, y'all. I'm sorry.
It's wow. All time. Is it better than Zombie Crane?
Yeah. It's better than everything that ever existed because why?
It's not better than Twin Robert Patrick's.
This is triplet Alicia's. You know, they show up and they're like, we're all Alicia. Alicia's in all of us. She came in. Alicia had pneumonia, so
this
I had
is like
pneumonia.
Octomom's kids grew up and Alicia was Octomom.
Wait a second. Yes. Could you be both Alicia and Negan? Because we are all Negan and we are all Alicia. All Negan. Could you
we're
be
all
both?
Alicia.
Yeah,
they have Alicia outfits on. Like, they have taken the We Are All Negan and just embodied it in a way that we could not have foreseen. An Alicia cult showed up and they're like, Mom, Madison. She's like, who are you people? Why are you talking to me?
Misa.
Yeah, Misa. Exactly. I'm sorry. This is the most absurd thing. This is worse than the wrestling match. Like, this is incredible that it happened on television and we watched it. But I'm glad we watched it as a family, because I don't think I would have made it through the episode if we hadn't.
Yeah. Yeah. Alicia's Christ is not what I was expecting here in the final stage of Fear of the Walking Dead. And yet, the Messiah. I've been waiting for the Messiah to come back for a long time, folks.
Did you not meet Laurent in the last Walking Dead that we did?
I'm skeptical of Laurent, by the way. I guess I haven't been on a Walking Dead since Daryl Dixon.
You missed all of Laurent.
Great show.
I will from our side of the ocean. You must take care of your own business in America. I am not going across the ocean. You can't stay here with me.
Daryl Dixon, great show. Cannot wait for Book of Carol. Book of Carol is going to be great. Also, since I've been gone from the podcast, John Locke, yes! Very excited about that. Come February, we're going to have the Rick Grimes and Michonne show.
Joining the Walking Dead towel.
So I want to say there are things in the Walking Dead universe that I'm excited about. Like, I thought Daryl Dixon was a terrific show. Great show. Really fun. Most fun we've had in the Walking Dead world in a while. And Dead City was also very fun. We love Dead City. Dead City was great.
Josh, you know? Josh, this is the Fear of the Walking Dead podcast. I need you to say something nice about Fear of the Walking Dead.
Well, then I may have to remove myself from the panel.
Yeah, I petition to not talk about Fear of the Walking Dead, and we can all just talk about what we're reading.
Here, I've got a thing I could say. By the end of this episode, Madison Clark has the SWAT truck all to herself. And if this was James Cameron's Fear of the Walking Dead, then the next episode would be a real time at the movies. So that's a nice thing that you could say theoretically, sight unseen, about what the actual penultimate episode of Fear the Walking Dead is going to be, because it won't be that. Instead, as AJ eloquently noted, we did watch this one as a family, so the four of us were in sync watching the episode. AJ, I believe what you had said was something to the effect of, after everybody comes back and Luciana's camp has been destroyed and Troy's people is they didn't seem to care if they lived or died. They just started shooting. You're like, well, that would have been an interesting episode that we didn't get to see.
Yeah, why didn't you show that?
Two moments, Josh. First of all, Strand meets the cult of Alicia, and they, there was this amazing thing that happened.
Yeah.
And Alicia did this cool thing, and oh my gosh, you should have been there. Yeah, we should have seen that. And then, we have to watch a bunch of people standing in a forest with zombies who can't move because they're frozen solid, only to come back and, wow, it's the best gunfight ever.
You missed it. Dead.
Oh, my gosh, you should have seen it. I should have seen it. Where were the cameras?
Yeah, I don't know. Listen, I kind of loved the member berry scene in the truck with everybody talking about Alicia's Christ. I thought it was kind of hilarious. But
stop calling her that.
It's who she is. Lord and Savior.
It reminded me more of one time Regina George punched me in the face, and it was awesome.
Yeah.
Alicia got pneumonia, so I got pneumonia, you know.
So you agree. Alicia Clark is your Lord and Savior.
We got a SWAT trip now.
There have been moments over the years, folks, where we've been really actually kind of high on Fear of the Walking Dead. And there were moments where Strand is such a funny Looney Tunes villain, or, you know, the apocalyptic setting at least is kind of cool. I think you even go back to some of the earlier days of the takeover of Fear of the Walking Dead, when you're getting your Althea and John Dorian, some of these people in there, there was something fun. But I got to tell you that maybe the wisest person involved in this final season of Fear of the Walking Dead was Lenny James, knowing I got to get out of here. I got to leave. None of us should be here. Honestly, none of us should be here. We have no further stories to tell. And they're asking us to tell 12 more stories. None of us should be here. We're here to talk about the two middle episodes of this second half of the final season. We're mostly spending time so far talking about the one that just aired. But Sanctuary is one of the most worthless episodes of the Walking Dead franchise I've ever seen. There's no reason for that episode to exist. We've handled every didn't we do Sherry and Dwight? Didn't we do this? Didn't they say we're bad for each other, honey bunny? Let's never talk again. And then they went their separate ways. We spent an entire episode retconning that. and like retconning Dwight's position on good can't come from bad like six different times in the space of the episode. One of the worst episodes of this whole franchise that I've ever seen. And we went back to the sanctuary, and that should be cool.
No,
this,
you know,
is when... one of the worst final seasons of anything I've seen in a long time. I don't want to mince words. And I feel bad because people work hard on TV. The zombie people, like the people who get into that makeup, it's a slog. The actors, they do their best with what they're given. Conditions are bad for writers, hopefully not for too much longer with some big victories for the guilds and such, but it's just bad. I can't apologize for it any further than that. It's really bad and it shouldn't exist, and this is a really bad final season of a show is my take on Fear the Walking Dead, and you can leave a rating and review at Post Show Recaps Walking Dead podcast feed wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, Josh, I think you just very eloquently answered the question of, if we hate the show so much, why are we still watching it? And it's for glorious rants like that one.
Yeah, I hate it. Absolutely. I really do. I really am mad at it too. Like, it's like, yes, why?
I am furious as well. Yeah. Definitely, Josh. Yeah. Just the Sanctuary episode. First of all, you are flashing back to a different show. You're not even flashing back to Fear stuff.
Yeah, they're trying to squander. They're trying to like gather the last remaining shreds of goodwill by reminding us of the show we did like. But P.S., we didn't like that one either.
Yeah. So you're mean to tell me that Padre, which is in Texas,
can we try? I would love
to.
Georgia? I would love to try to make it through the entire podcast without saying the word Padre. I can't hear it ever again.
Fine. So our island of misfit children is somewhere in Georgia, Texas area here.
Texas.
And they have time to get a car, waste all that fuel, because they think they know that Dwight's somewhere near the sanctuary. I know it's where Sherry and him used to live, but they didn't know when he said going home that he meant it's precisely there. They show up there, convince Dwight to go back with them, and we pick up the show right where it left off. Like, you can't travel that far. You waste the gas, waste the time, because we can't win this war without Dwight. That doesn't make any sense. And the biggest FU of the entire thing is when that freaking bird showed up at the end of episode 9.
I laughed so hard. Look, a finch.
You gonna tell me that that's an effing finch? I am. Oh.
What do you think, AJ? What do you think Finch would say, though? Like,
tweet,
what do you think Finch
tweet,
would
tweet,
say?
Tweet. What would Finch say? Oh, good Lord! What an awful, awful, awful episode. Waste of a time. And I'm not even getting to the logistics of the fact that boiler wouldn't have cooled down in time. Like, I'm willing to overlook. It wouldn't be that big inside what they call fitness. Like
a better, a show that like has more style and pizzazz. Like I won't even think about that. You know, like I won't even think about the fact that like you melt the second you touch the metal, you're dead instantaneously. But you can't help but think about all of these things when you watch a show like this right now.
Again, if he was flashing back to Fear the Walking Dead, fine. If he was a character from Fear the Walking Dead, great. He said goodbye. We said goodbye to him. We can't do this without you. And why did they bring Dov along? Who cares?
Yeah, it took me like 10 full seconds to realize, oh, she was at Padre. Sorry, she was at, you know, she was at
Island of Misfit Children.
You know where?
Bird Island. Mm-hmm.
Just say it. It's fine.
Place that must not be named.
You have 4 episodes left and you're going to carry this character on.
Yeah, you're going to make her a thing. We killed off everybody we liked off screen in one line of dialogue, but we're keeping Dove/Odessa for capital R reasons.
I loved when they're like, Odessa, nice.
That's
Texas.
Let's go back
it's
there.
Texas.
Nice.
Texas.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Unbelievable waste
exhale,
of an
episode. Exhale, family.
There were a few moments in there that were kind of cool. Yeah, but that would have been a nice episode if Dwight had suddenly returned to the main show with a season ago. And oh, look, Dwight's back. That's kind of cool. No, do this now.
Yeah. Dwight visits the sanctuary and the sanctuary collapses on itself. That episode needed to happen in that little pack of, in that little six pack of episodes during the pandemic.
Yes, that would have been perfect.
Yeah.
That would have been perfect.
I can't believe
retrospective.
Like cut out the one of Carol chasing the rat and put in Dwight in Sanctuary.
Well, I'm really surprised that Fear the Walking Dead is allowed to not just like touch the sanctuary, but destroy the sanctuary. And to do it so arbitrarily in an episode where nothing is advanced. Nothing is advanced. Especially because like in this past episode, in episode 10, Dwight just shows up and he's just another warm body holding a gun. We can't do this without you, Dwight. Well, Dwight is one of like the 3-1 odds against Troy's army, and Troy's psychopath that he is just like, F it. Just like pull the trigger. I'll pull mine too. Like Dwight's useless in this thing. And so that's the episode where like, we just once again, totally like, I mean, Morgan gets so much heat for being the character that's constantly flip-flopping, but the Dwight and Sherry stuff is just as bad. And we had just resolved it in the mid-season. And now they're here just like totally taking it right back. And that's the episode that we obliterate the sanctuary in. You don't just like leave that out in the universe for a better future use. There's a lot of reasons to hate that episode. It was really rough. That was a rough one to watch for sure.
Well, not to get too far ahead, but you mentioned this standoff between Dwight and Troy. And that's the standoff that we're led to believe that was this crazy shootout that we didn't see, right?
Yeah.
So Troy is dead, right? Because there's no way. There's no way they're standing 6 inches away from this man. They have a shootout and the first bullet does not hit Troy. There's no way. He's in the front. He's got his army of goons. Y'all got your army of goons. But you tell me who shot somebody that's not named Troy? What are you doing? What's the point?
Well, for that matter, why did they stand there for 20 minutes pointing guns at each other? Why didn't somebody just shoot Troy? He is not useful at all to anybody.
Because it's not the final episode, Jess. They didn't shoot him in the first episode when they clearly could have.
He's not useful. He doesn't have anything they need. There's no reason to keep him alive. Just kill him. He's going to kill you.
Yeah.
Kill him. How did he survive the shootout? Is he magic? Like,
How did he survive Madison bashing his brains in with a hammer? Why is he here?
Why is he here? I hate this guy. I get him in his stupid eye, too.
Yeah. It's really great because, like, this show has no reason to exist. I'll start there. That this show has no reason to exist.
You tell.
And then I'll continue by saying anymore. The show has no reason to exist anymore. And it hasn't for a minute. And like, even like, so they wrapped up the Morgan story, and that has been the story of this post Dave Erickson era of Fear the Walking Dead, who created the show with Kirkman and ran it for those first three seasons. And so there's nothing that has been like seeded or established during the second era of Fear the Walking Dead beyond the Morgan storyline. And Morgan leaving, when he leaves here in this final season of Fear the Walking Dead, means that all that's left to mine is either let's create new stuff or let's dip back into that original era that we had completely ignored anyway, because there was really nothing else to pick up. Troy was dead. Like, that guy was dead. We watched that dude get brained to death. It's not the same as Madison Clark could have. And even that, you know, was of course ridiculous. Like, she was surrounded by zombies and the stadium's on fire. Like, there's no real, you know, serious way that she's getting out of her life.
Dumpster to crawl under.
You know, at least like we don't see her body take fatal damage the way we watched Troy take fatal damage back in season 3. But what's worse is that this show has ignored those three seasons and everything that happened in those three seasons. But now our end boss, rather than, if we have to stick it out for 6 more episodes, rather than come up with some kind of new bad guy, rather than figure out what the Padre plot possibly could be and extend that across the 12 episodes in like a cool way where we could establish, like, get your Terry O'Quinn equivalent and get like a new guest star, have a really awesome special guest star for your final season as a villain, rather than accept that challenge, we got to close the loop on shit you never even opened in the first place. And Troy is the loop to close. Troy had a hammer to the temple. He's dead. So it's just kind of offensive. There was, you know, the story was resolved as much as it could have been resolved in the first half of the season. These six episodes here are totally extraneous filler that amount to absolutely nothing. And I'm very annoyed about it because sometimes this show has been good and I feel like it's going to end on like a really sour note. And it just doesn't have to be this way. And it's because the show shouldn't be on anymore. Shouldn't have existed was the first thing, but it certainly shouldn't exist anymore.
When should we have pulled the plug on Fear?
Are you talking about us as viewers or the show?
Well, us as viewers, I know the answer to that.
And was it like a clandestine operation where like the four of us went and like there was like a literally like, is it powered into an outlet? Could we have unplugged the show?
Mm.
Yes.
I think the last time I was annoyed, like I wasn't just like completely disgusted with the show to some extent, was maybe the nuclear bomb. Maybe. Because since then, they've just taken such wild swings. You know, we had nuclear wasteland zombies that explode when you throw them at the sanctuary that he built in a tower that he's throwing people off of and catapulting them. It got very wacky right around that time. Alicia's a zombie half the season, just walking around normal, half zombie, half amazing. You know, it's just like, I'm thinking that that's around the time where we should have just pulled the plug.
I agree with you. What happened was, they walked back Strand as the big bad. And that was when they completely lost any chance of wrapping this up in a decent way. Because they had set up, okay, Strand's the big bad. He's really a big bad. It's all about this tower. Let's fight for the tower. Strand kills someone that we love. Someone kills Strand. Go out. That would have been the perfect ending. And then, oh, no, we let's walk it back. And then fast forward 6 years and teach him German. Because that makes sense.
I'm sure you have some opinions about the German.
It makes me so mad how bad he is at speaking German. He's not even learning it phonetically. He's not even pronouncing the words the way they're supposed to be pronounced. Like, it's barely German what he is doing.
Yeah.
And it's upsetting. There was one moment in the first of these two episodes where I got a little bit excited on behalf of AJ because I saw a glimmer of villain Strand. And I'm like, ooh, he's going to kidnap a child. That's exciting. Maybe no. He's going to go full villain again. And he had a very good plan. It was pretty good. He had a very good method of messing up other people's plans. And I'm like, okay, good. Here's Diabolical Strand. He's going to come back. He's going to ruin things for people because he's a giant ruiner and that's what he does. But then that kind of didn't happen either.
No, it became a hot potato of Dora the Explorer there, just tossing around from person to person to person. Like, I've got it. No, I've got it. No, I've got it. You better give it to me. Well, I don't trust you. I don't trust you. I don't trust you. Well, I trust you. You're the only person I can trust. And we had to spin our wheels for a half an hour while off screen, you know, there's a big gunfight. And finally, it's like, well, I'm going to go, you know, Madison, I'm going to go over there and do my thing over there. And we're gonna go over there and do our thing over there. And Lucia's going to go over there and do her thing over there. And we'll meet for one last scene in two episodes. I mean, really, what?
I begged for the return of Strand. And now I'm starting to think maybe Strand is nothing without Morgan. Maybe they only work as a duo. Because I didn't like Morgan without Strand either, but I hate Strand without Morgan. This is so boring. I am so fed up with this man and his wig. I'm sick of it. I'm tired of it. It's offensive.
I'm like happy that he got a family, but like now there's like he has to like go back to just being sort of squirrely Victor Strand. I will say, oh my God, I laughed so hard. They're on the boat. Yeah, we're going to bring her to you. She's blindfolded. And we're going to bring you Victor Strand as well. Victor Strand, they get off the radio, and immediately Victor Strand flips the blindfold off of little Tracy. Tracy, look around. Look at the lighthouse. And then goes, ah, ha, 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 ha. And he stands up and he slips his like little bracelet, his little plastic bracelet off with like a single swoop. He pulls the wires right out of the boat and just hops out like Jack Shepard in season 6 of Lost. And it's just like he had the whole thing worked out in his mind, fully planned. I think that this was the moment that I said to the four of us, everyone on this show is so stupid. Everyone on this show is so stupid that he was able to, he just like dunked on them all. Dwight is there. Dwight, who they, as you mentioned, wasted so much gas to go and find. They went out of their way to go and find Dwight. Dwight, only you can save us. Dwight, you are the only one who can help us through this thing. We need to get you back from the sanctuary, Dwight. You're the only one who is going to be able to help us stop this guy from season three who died, who is now back on the show as the end boss. Dwight, they say, Dwight, turn the boat around. He goes, I can't. The battery's done. You know, like this, this show is just... it's just not good. And I do not love to like just like come on and dunk on her show, but like it's just bad. It's not good. It's not very good at it being a television show.
No. It really is. Yeah. You don't even have a real child. Just as some
that was hilarious.
Didn't Tato just get so upset over the fact that Charlie, who's not his real child, was killed. Or, you know, killed herself. But
yeah,
you know,
Daniel's coming hard for adopted kids.
But blames Madison for that. I will never speak to you again. I'm going to go with Madison. Because.
Yeah.
But AJ, we got a shout out to your favorite. We got a shout out to Ophelia.
Ophelia. Let me talk about Ophelia.
Take a
and
shout.
And as soon as he said Ophelia, I'm like looking at AJ, and AJ's like falling off of his chair.
That scene gave me the best laugh because little Tracy's in the back seat, like, yeah, didn't your daughter try to poison a bunch of people? And Daniel turns around with the slowest head turn because he wanted to call her all kinds of B words. And he just looked at her like,
really?
Nah,
you want to go?
Raggedy Daddy. And then that's when everybody realizes, wait, Daniel, are you just here to make sure this child dies? And Madison Clark does the slow head turn and says, there's something wrong with you. And I'm thinking, duh, did y'all miss the entire show? The man has split personality for three seasons. He got shot in the face. Daniel bent off. What are y'all talking about? He's nuts.
Yeah.
He had dementia and then he cured it.
This is a man. Yeah, this is a man who is like, Ophelia, she's on the boat. She's on the boat. I'm going to feed this man's legs to the zombies.
This guy tells about that. This guy tells Luciana, you're like a daughter to me. Take me with you. I promise no drama. No drama. Also, I'm going to go with Madison to kill a child in a horde of frozen zombies.
I'm going
to
yeet Victor Strand out of a truck.
I'm going to kill the child until Madison decides she wants to kill the child. And then I'm going to say, then it's a problem. We can't kill a child.
Yeah,
so the realization the problem is the problem is that it's not that we don't have a good villain to rally around. It's that everybody is clamoring to be the villain.
Yes, Madison was definitely supposed to be the villain of this episode. They're like, Madison, you're crazy. Why would you try to like zombie crane this child out here in the middle of nowhere? And she's like, are y'all crazy? This girl has to die. Like, we don't need her anymore. She's like her daddy, Troy. She sucks. We can just get rid of him. And everybody's like, no, it's Madison. It's a kid. But the realization when Madison finally noticed that Daniel ass is crazy, I will never forget that moment. Because she legit says it, like, you are out of your damn mind. And he's just like, yeah, where have you been? Have you missed this?
She did miss it. It's a good apparently, point that she did miss it.
Yeah, she's like, Daniel, do you have dementia? He's like, yes, indubitably. Actually, I do.
Why, yes, thank Ophelia, I do.
I'm sorry for this show to have been so bad. Yes, I will say the episode was hilarious. There were so many wacky moments where I was just like, this is not happening on television.
Give us the highlights.
I think the highest light for me is that when I thought I could hate a child, no, like Laurent, I thought took the cake. I think Laurent. He was the savior. There is no Alicia's Christ without Laurent first. He paved the way.
Oui,
with moi. Tracy with her Charlie in the Chocolate Factory Bob is driving. She's driving. She looks like the berries and cream guy. Like berries and cream. Like she looks. It's driving me crazy.
She needs a tri-corner hat. Yeah.
She's such a
one of those frozen zombies had a tri-corner hat. So
yeah. Alicia's mom did not have a hat on, but she was there too, right? I mean, Alicia was there. The baby's mom. So y'all. So if you're listening to this, Jess and I, Josh, AJ, we're watching this, and Josh makes the prediction. I think that Alicia is this baby's mama.
Yes.
Now I start to think this show is already bad. Would they do it? They probably would. Yeah. So when they see the fake Alicia in the woods, frozen, Alicia zombie, for a split second, Madison's looking at her just like, there's no way that's Alicia. And then the little girl said, that's my mom. And I howled. I screamed because I just knew the show went there. The show really tried to make us believe that Alicia, but they didn't. They did not do it.
They didn't. Some self-restraint.
A part of me wishes that they did. Just a tiny part of me.
How would they... Like, she already, Alicia begged his brother.
Yeah, she did.
And she really hates him.
She yeah, did.
She,
but,
and she'd already told Madison that you killed my mom, so that really wouldn't have made sense.
Oh my God, by the way. With this is how you killed my mom, with your ideas.
Oh, your ideas.
You killed my mom. By trying to set an example for the world. You got her killed. You and Alicia both. I hate you. Like, they were right to try and feed this child to the zombies.
Yes.
Why isn't she mad at the people that caused the zombie apocalypse in the first place?
This was as correct a decision as I've ever seen across any of the Walking Dead shows, was to try and feed this child to a zombie. Like, this child keeps lying to us. This child has seen Padre. This child just, like, walked us into a frozen horde of walkers, and they're hungry enough that they'll break their own legs off to try and eat us. She's never going to tell us the truth. She should be fed to a zombie. She's a liability.
She disrespected Ophelia.
She talked too much trash in general. Like, every time they try to drag this kid somewhere, she's like, no, what you going to do, kill me? Like, yes. Yes, we should kill you. What are you doing? Well, my father gets a load of this. Like, bro, we don't care about your dad.
We're also going to kill him.
I'm not going to give the show a pass on this either. Like, again, where are they that it's frozen, but they still have enough time to get back?
And yeah, to the tropical rainforest where Madison is killing things.
Was driving far enough for the climate to change? Come on.
I thought it was like cement or something, because there's no way there's ice here.
No, there's ice. They're breathing cold breath and everything, and it's just like
Texas. Really? Ice just don't sit like that here. I'm telling y'all. I'm here. I'm telling you.
Well, except for that one time when it did.
Post-nuclear.
That was a day and a half. Like, so that was
post-nuclear winter. Yes.
Maybe it's nuclear ice, because this is no way that you just walk across the street in Texas and there's just random forest full of ice zombies. And then you just go back the other direction.
Game of Thrones, and you have made up geography and it's not a real place, and say, well, this is the frozen place. Okay, cool. You can't go, this is Texas, you know, the frozen place. Let's go back to Georgia where it's not frozen. Like, what?
In the same episode, AJ. In the same episode.
Yeah, I didn't realize Arendelle bordered on Texas.
Exactly. This is ridiculous because of the lack of time it takes these people to get anywhere. They were just in regular Texas, and now they're in frozen Texas. There's not like this like bridge that takes you to the icy place. You know, I just really don't understand why they're doing this. But again, I had a good laugh. I laughed very hard during this episode. I thought it was hilarious.
Well, yeah. Especially all the zombies hugging Strand as opposed to trying to bite him.
I've never seen zombies do the
hug from behind. It's like, Strand, long time.
Guess who? It's one of those like, yeah, and he's like, don't hug me. Don't hug me. If you hug me, I'm going to cry. No, don't touch me.
My name's not Strand, it's Anton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, Frank seems totally chill with everything.
Yeah, Frank is like, yeah, he told me everything and I'm cool with it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sounds about
we're
right.
Good. We're
there was
good.
A lot of that actually. Like Tracy also was like, "Yeah, my dad told me everything, and I'm cool with it."
Yeah,
yeah. Y'all suck, but my dad, me, seems like a stand-up guy. It's like, yeah.
I did appreciate Tracy. That. We got a Shisa in this episode.
Yeah,
you got a whole half of your cast now that's a German-speaking half of your cast. Like, you got to get Shisa in there. I feel like.
The one German word pronounced correctly in the entire episode.
So they did that. So that was good. So Alicia's not dead, right?
Huh?
No.
How?
They keep saying she is.
But how? But how would she not be dead, y'all?
No, she's not dead because...
She's not dead, right?
Because she gave birth to Troy Otto's child.
If Troy Otto's not dead, Alicia's not dead. Come on, man.
But
yeah, if Madison Clark's not dead, Alicia's not dead.
I'm not saying that they'll resolve it in this, but I'm saying that when Walking Dead Endgame happens, that Alicia Clark is stepping out of the circle alongside all of the other Avengers for sure. 100%.
A new spiky ball hand. Yeah. You saw that her hand is broke. Is gone.
At this point, that's the only way this you end this series. It is if you do not end this series in the next two episodes with a Madison Alicia reunion, then what was really the point of any of this story?
Yeah, they're not going to do that. That would make too much sense.
Well, of course, it's not a guarantee. It's not going to happen, but you do not set up this entire storyline with the cult of Alicia. And Alicia, she was great. She was wonderful. She did all these things, you know, and then Troy killed her, but Troy's a liar.
She's going to come back as, so maybe she could still be a zombie, but she would be a variant zombie that retains her soul and personality.
She was half zombie for at least four episodes before she died, y'all. Half zombie. This woman has lasted an entire season of Fear the Walking Dead without her fake zombie arm. And as a half a zombie, I'm going to lose it because there's no reason why Alicia should be alive.
Whoa, wait. Alicia is half zombie. That's right. So she could be Tracy's mother, and then she will give birth to Tracy. I'm going to bring up Laurent. Tracy and Laurent are star-crossed lovers. They are meant to be together, separated by an ocean, and someday they will reunite the kingdoms.
Alicia Christ and Laurent the Savior, they're going to come together. I think this is the prophecy. Laurent
the Savior is going to be pretty pissed off when he finds out the sanctuary has been destroyed.
Very true. The show had set up at the very end when the tower fell and everyone got on the rafts. So it was, end of season seven, and Alicia's sitting there. And I thought it would have been so simple to just, have us see through Alicia's eyes that she still is Alicia and seeing the world, but, turn the camera around and see that she's turned into a zombie. And then, if she does come back as a quote unquote zombie, but inside she still is retaining herself somehow. That would have been a cool little twist, a little evolution, justifying all of her zombiness up until that point. And then when she shows up in the final episode looking like a zombie, but like she hugs Madison or something, and it would have been something good.
Eat her face.
She comes up and hugs Victor Strand from behind, but it's a real hug.
It's just
this show is great.
They just didn't have a plan. They got the final season and didn't have a plan.
Well, AJ, arguably they have never had a plan.
Yeah,
but at least they never had a plan before they went, hey, let's wrestle a bunch of zombies.
let's poison everybody and save them with beer.
Yes, beer.
Even that story makes sense now, comparatively.
Looking back. Yeah.
They had the balls to actually set off the nuclear warhead. I'm like, kudos. To write yourself into that kind of a corner, I was like, all right, let's see you try to get out of this. And no, it wasn't super successful, but at least it was interesting. And to save budget on actually having to have a set, because all you had to do was just have dark and ash in the air, so you didn't really have to see where you were. So you could do the whole thing on a soundstage and no one would care. Like, that was at least clever.
I hope they had great catering on set. I hope at least like the free food like every day was good.
I want to see behind the scenes photos of the zombie extras at craft services.
Yeah, I haven't seen that before. It's actually quite funny. I hope that they ate well. I hope that they made meaningful relationships with each other, the cast and crew.
Sure.
I hope that they've had very rewarding experiences engaging with the fans at the cons. Because it can't be the material. It can't be the material that they're going to be like, you know what? They gave me a really challenging character to play. your character changed personalities 700 times in an episode. you ask, like, oh, well, Alicia, she was with Troy's brother. How could Alicia and Troy possibly get together? Have you seen how many different times these characters have just become completely different characters in the blink of an eye? Victor Strand in this episode is like, well, listen, we've all done some pretty shitty things, Naomi. And June's like, fair.
Naomi, Laura, June, Blue, like, Jay. I mean, how many different names has Jen Elfman had to respond to on the set?
Like, 40 years have passed between season 6 and 7. That's a lot of time for, like, Troy and Alicia to have found each other. Be like, eh, you know, you're actually not that racist. You know, like, you're actually not such a bad racist guy and a sociopath and stuff. He's like, yeah, I'm cured of it, actually. You know, it could have happened. Totally could have happened. There's no continuity on this show at all. None of this is a surprise. None of this is a eureka. These are just facts to be stated. And it's tough because you could look past a lot of that, actually, if things are, like, entertaining. But what's really difficult is it's clearly, like, there's like, a big, you know, a lot of these are, like, shots at, like, the higher level of, like, give them, if you're going to make them make the show, give them money. You have to give them money. You have to give them money so that, like, they can, like, go home at night and rest their heads on their pillows and fall asleep and wake up with the good ideas when they hit the keyboard. You have to give them the money so that when they have these big action scenes that happen in the universe of the show, we get to see them. You have to show them the money. And like, the top level at AMC didn't do that for this show. And they were just like, no, but we just need more numbers on Fear of the Walking Dead. We need more eyes on Fear of the Walking Dead. And this is what we're ending up with. And it's quite bad. It's quite bad.
We didn't talk about the slow-mo Madison Clark with the sledgehammer.
Hilarious.
With the rock music in the background, you know, like,
without having to take a single puff off her breathing apparatus. She was good.
Like, yeah, and
effortless.
Does Negan know that she stole his jacket?
Right. She put on a leather jacket, like, because she's a real badass. She's a bad boy.
Watch out. We got a badass over here.
Right. She's going to have a Harley on the next one, too. Between her, Daryl, and Negan, you know, they're just running out of badass.
Give her the Harley and let her fulfill her Dean destiny, Chappelle.
That's how
we get her on a trike, and that's how we fulfill her Dean.
On the big wheel, Josh. Yeah, on the big wheel.
Imagine, you know?
It's just so frustrating that the show didn't even care enough to give the characters that we care enough the send-offs, but they'll bring the SWAT vehicle back.
Yeah.
Hey, I care about the SWAT vehicle.
I kind of care about the SWAT vehicle.
I kind of like it too, Richard. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, great. Bring it back, but we'll never see Al again, you know?
Yeah. Well, good. You know what? Let somebody get the fuck off this show. Like, let one person get off this show happily. You know, let it be Maggie Grace. She's earned it. Let her have her happy ending, her and what's the name of the person who she dated, I forget, but she's a good actress and she's been in things. Like, let them live happily ever after. Great. Do not bring them. I absolutely thought that Althea was gonna roll up. And it's like, are you guys like, are texts back in the world? Of Fear of the Walk, like, do you have Share My Location on? With it, like, how are you
finding my SWAT van?
How are you finding each other? So I was almost really upset about that, which would have been funny because I really like that character a lot, but I am thrilled that she hasn't come back. Like, one person who got out of this mess, watch her be the pivotal character who teaches Madison how to use the SWAT truck for 95% of the second to last episode of Fear of the Walking Dead, only for all of the SWAT truck shooting to happen completely off camera for, like, the...
You know how this series is going to end now? It's going to zoom out, and it's going to be, like, Al is still recording people telling their stories, and the whole thing is going to wrap up as, like, Al's documentary.
Yeah, well, Al's going to be talking to stories, and it's going to be Rick, because they got to pimp the next show down the road.
We're moving on to Tal.
We do.
Yes.
Okay, so are we done with these characters? I know we are at the finale.
Oh, season ago, yeah.
But
Are we done with these characters? Like, is this the end of all of these characters in the Walking Dead universe? Or is there any world where one of these people shows up on Daryl, Carol, Maggie, Negan, Rick Schoen?
I made a Twitter thread last week of like all of the characters across the series that I would like to just move over to the Daryl show. Like, we're mm-hmm. just going to cut loose all the other shows and we're just going to put all the good characters on one show.
Yeah. Fear the Walking Dead is kind of like Twitter. Like it, that yeah. also should be over by now.
Yeah. I should have cut that loose too, but yeah. I didn't.
It's X. I should change its personality. It's X. It's like Daniel.
Yeah. So it really is like Fear the Walking Dead.
It is in full like Morgan Clear mode.
Right. Twitter, it was a bird as well. But Jess, I do want to know.
The Twitter bird.
Yeah. Exactly. I do want to know, who did you want to move over from Fear the Walking Dead to Daryl and Paris?
Yeah, I would take Wendell and Sarah. I would take Rabbi Jacob. Mm-hmm. I would take Al. Here, I'm going to pull it up. I'm going to give you the whole list of everybody.
Where are Wendell and Sarah, by the way?
They died. Victor said they died.
They died. Dear in an awful God. Yep.
Wait, is that real?
That's mm-hmm. real.
Yeah.
Victor was like, real. Yeah, everybody died. Everybody you didn't mm-hmm. see yet, they all died.
Mm-hmm.
We just didn't renew their contracts. Wait, and we didn't have time to write them off the show.
When did he say that?
Like 2 episodes ago.
Was that really the thing he yeah. actually said?
Mm-hmm. He actually mm-hmm. said that. He's like, I tried to help these people. They didn't want my help because they were mad at me. And so then they died.
So Wendell's dead. Sarah's dead. Rabbi is dead too.
Rabbi's dead.
Mm-hmm. I hate this show.
Well,
it's so disrespectful, to have the full inability to kill off any characters on screen. Like, we're like, we won't do it. Everyone is just like shrouded in plot armor, and then like we couldn't get the actors back. It's like, yeah, we just killed them.
They died.
They didn't even say how they died, Josh. They're just dead.
There's a thing that happens when you play a Final Fantasy game where you like get elixirs along the way. Elixirs are very rare potions that will heal all of your hit points and magic points, and you just don't want to use them because like they're so good. You want to wait yeah. until you really need them to bust them out. So you get to the end of the game and you get to the final boss and you have like 16 elixirs. You're like, why didn't I use one of these along the way? This is like character deaths on a show. You should sprinkle them throughout and they should have meaning and they should be used with impact, because then you're going to save all of this stuff. And not just character deaths, but like moments of change, of seismic change, of moving the story around. They need to happen. You don't save all of your ideas for the very end, because then you get to the very end and you realize you can't use all of these. You can't use any of them. And none of them got used along the way. So the rabbi is just dead, and Sarah and Wendell are just dead. The kid who played Charlie is willing to come back to pretend to be a 27-year-old adult who already died on the show, but will bring her back for just one episode to make her look Alicia adjacent so we can kill her and put some meaning back into Madison's story. Trash.
Okay, so
use your elixirs, folks.
Here's my full list of everybody that needs to.
And when they did kill her the first time, it was for catching radiation in an elevator.
Yep. I remember.
Is that like getting pregnant from a toilet seat?
Ah!
Jess, your list, please.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Jess.
Maybe that explains how Alicia is.
That's how she gave birth to Tracy.
Oh no.
Yeah. Okay.
Not the toilet baby.
Okay, so full list of everybody that just needs to come from all of the different Walking Deads and go beyond Daryl Dixon, and then all the other Walking Dead shows can die to fire.
Okay.
So I have Scott from Original Recipe Walking Dead, because how is he still alive? I have Dr. Everett from Tales of the Walking Dead, because mm-hmm. we have lots of weird science going on and I like him. We have Taka and Crazy Dog from Fear the Walking Dead. We don't know what happened
Crazy
to them.
Dog.
They didn't go to France. They were like the one good thing about that season. Of course, we have Al, because we have Rabbi Jacob. Okay. Of course, we have Connie. We need Connie.
Lauren Ridloff, way too good for this shit.
Yeah, way too good. Diane from Original Recipe Walking Dead.
Okay.
Jerry and Nabila, obviously.
Yeah, Jerry.
Let's bring back. Let's bring back all four Endlings.
Okay.
Because we need some children on Walking Dead, Daryl Dixon, who need to teach Laurent how to be less annoying.
Yeah, Elton needs to teach Laurent a thing or two.
Elton, yes.
Yep. We have Wendell and Sarah. And then I think we need to bring in the Croat because they need someone to like take charge of the energy.
Alicia!
That was good. And also, I want the Croat to go hang out with Bolero Guy.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, the music is symphony. It's beautiful.
He'd love
find it very, very fascinating, Jess, that we have a slew of characters in front of us on this very season. And you're like, nope.
No, everybody on this season can go to hell.
What a way to end a podcast, by the way.
I would find more June Dory. I like June Dory.
No, Jenna Elfman. Like Jenna Elfman needs Jenna Elfman needs rest.
I've been out on June Dory since the first time she changed her name.
although it's really nice to know that the chess piece finger is working so well.
Unbelievable. What? Here, I made this for you. What are we talking about? What are we talking about?
Yeah, it was very phallic and then it was a finger, I guess.
I made this for you.
That's
what are you talking about? Everything has to have like hope and meaning, and like it's like it's hope, meaning, friends. We could do this. Also, here's a chess piece for your finger. Like everything has this for you. Look, a finch. In case you didn't get it, like what are
you know? You literally shut the door on me, Sherry. But luckily, I was able to get out through that door, and now we can be together.
Yeah, when you shut the door on me, I was able to punch a hole in the wall. Love
was burning, but now it's not anymore. But we can rekindle that fire. Look, tweet, tweet.
When God closes a door, he punches a hole in the wall.
Let's drive across the country to get the man who you can push with both hands onto his butt and then close the door on and lock it with a broomstick. That guy's going to save us.
We can't do this without you.
Yeah, I'm pretty impressed that like they cleared out the entire sanctuary, and yet the iron that burned Dwight is still hanging on the hook next to the furnace.
Still there.
Yep. Well, it's not the Worf effect, Jess. You know, like because like none of them are the tough person, but like they were supposed to be. Like I guess like it's sort of Worf effect adjacent. I don't know what you call it, but like every single episode, they're like, you're the strong one. Next episode, you're an idiot. You know, it's just like over and over, rinse and repeat. This character, the show's just like constantly undoing its characters, the successes of its characters, and just making them like bumbling, fumbling idiots. And
how did any of these people
so much better? And so do we, truly.
How did any of these people survive 10 years in a zombie apocalypse?
Very true.
That's a good question.
Just one more.
Well, they did. They just transformed.
I would rather eat Gawk live than watch another episode of this freaking show.
We've got two more, folks. Final predictions for the end of Fear the Walking Dead.
My prediction: pain.
Didn't we end The Walking Dead proper with like Rosita dying? Like you know,
they're afraid to kill anybody off.
Right, but they're like, you saved the big death for Rosita.
She had to beg the writers for that.
Which is why I at least love that the character focused spinoffs. Like you walk into Dead City, like they're not gonna kill Maggie and Negan. It's their show. You know, they're not gonna kill Daryl Dixon or Carol. It's their show. They're not gonna kill Rick and Michonne, it's their show. And then if someday they do, whoa, oh my god. So it'll have like real stakes, but the expectation is level set, like you're level set. I think that the mainline Walking Dead limped off. This show is limping off as well. And frankly, good riddance, I think.
Yes, you know,
earlier you asked, like, when should this show have ended? I think, like, when they blew up the dam.
Yeah. Mm. Everything after blowing up the dam has just been schizoid.
Damn. Well, I just don't understand why, like, well, we blew up the dam, and so we have to keep going with Fear of the Walking Dead, because to cancel it would mean to admit failure of like the Walking Dead extended universe experiment, when it's like, no, that would have been an opportunity. You end it, things end sometimes. And like, if you like actually do a good thought out ending with like a generous amount of storytelling and care for your audience and the people involved in your thing, then there could be real, that's where there could be like real meaning and opportunity and like actual like takeaways that you'll think about for a minute. But instead you just let a thing limp off into the forever abyss. And as a result, because chances weren't taken creatively earlier, it's taken us this long to get anything of the quality of Dead City and Daryl Dixon, where we could have had this stuff a lot earlier. So yeah, it's annoying. What are you gonna do?
Everything should be like three seasons max. It should all be limited series. I like everything is World Beyond now.
Using the British model, which was always like, yeah, we'll do 6 to 10 episodes of something, and that's it. And if you like it, all right, in 3 years, maybe we'll do a second series of it because you really liked it. It was really successful, and enough time has come and gone, and we came up with a good idea on how to continue it. So let's do it. So that's a great model. So 6 episodes of you know, Maggie Negan, New York. Hey, you know what? It worked. We have an idea for a second 6. Cool. I'm fine with it. Daryl Dixon. It worked. Great. Cool. Give me 6 more episodes of it. But don't book it for 6 more seasons because season 1 was good. Don't make that mistake. Do season 2. And if it falls a little bit, say goodbye and move on to the next one.
Yeah, The Walking Dead is really good at taking big swings and then they like touch the hot stove and then they like retreat so far back that they're saving it. Because we saw that even in The Walking Dead proper with the whole Glenn thing, right? With the Glenn in the dumpster. People were like, whoa, that was a lot. And then when Negan shows up, which is, you know, it's canon that this is going to happen, but it's such a big swing. Such a big swing that people were like, literally, whoa, are you going to survive this? And they don't know how to recover, right? They don't know how to like, okay, bounce back. That was the thing we did. It shocked the world. Where do we go from here? They're really bad at that like follow-up. So this is just, fear is just that. Fear is a big swing that they keep touching the hot stove and now they're like, I don't really know what to do now. So let's just kind of end it. But with no real resolution. Like you said, Josh, they didn't have a plan, and this is the result of that. And so, yeah, 6 episodes, that's something you can plan for. Give us 6 episodes here and there, boom, 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 short stories that we can tell, the anthology series, you know, if that episode didn't work in that universe, boom, you give us another episode with different characters, with a different feel, Parker Posey, you know, like, just keep switching it up. And find out what works. But The Walking Dead, it took them a long time to get here. Way too long. It should have ended a long time ago. Like, when I came on this podcast, I told y'all, I was like, I don't know how we're doing this. I do not know.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is the result of all of that.
Yep.
Yep.
But yep. I'm glad I met you guys.
Yes. The friends we made along the way.
Two more episodes of Fear the Walking Dead. We are not podcasting about them individually. We will group them together for one final Fear the Walking Dead podcast.
Are they airing them back to back? Are they airing them in one floor block?
Is that how this is going?
I saw that they were doing that. Mm. Tell me I'm crazy, but I thought I saw that next
So we're only getting together one more time to talk about this stupid show.
One more time.
Either way, we're only getting together one more time to talk about this stupid show.
One more time.
Yeah, we was going to do that anyway.
Yeah, AJ, you're right. It's one.
November 19th, two-part finale.
One final two-part finale. So we will be back next week. To talk this thing through.
To talk about a fight till the end.
Oh, boy.
Fighting like you.
At Fort Worth, as Madison tracks down Alicia for one final farewell.
The final episode is called The Road Ahead, and I feel attacked. Like the insinuation that there's more.
Could the last half hour simply be a backdoor first episode of Rick and Michonne?
Because I mean, they tried that with Walking Dead proper.
Wasn't that, I was like, didn't we already do that, AJ? The Walking Dead proper
not was a full half hour, though. Show.
It was enough.
I don't know. I hear The Road Ahead as a title, and I think like the last 30 seconds of Terminator 2.
Oh, The Walking Dead. So we're just like, we're just watching like the yellow lines on the road for a whole episode.
It's on a highway, and it's going to loop around and start right back again at the beginning.
Yep, it's going to be better than anything else we've watched all season. It's just going to be a road.
Lost Highway, they changed characters a lot in that one, too. It's kind of like Fear the Walking Dead.
True.
Balthazar Zeddy has never been better.
All right, just take us home. Let's get out of here.
All right, let's talk about pleasanter subjects. Let's talk about what else we're doing. AJ Mass, tell us about the world of the Felonious Pundits.
Felonious Pundits, Criminal Minds Rewatch, Kentad Svensgaard and myself. You know the drill. Listen to it at a podcast listener near you.
Very nice. Very nice. Chappelle, what's going on with you?
Suits every day, suitspodcast.com. Rob and I are talking about every episode of Suits every day, and it is a blast. We're up to season 6. It's crazy. We're almost done. We've lapped AJ probably twice now on Felonious Pundits, but it's a great time. Go to suitspodcast.com to subscribe to that. You can check me out talking about Below Deck on Rob Has a Podcast every week with Sasha. You can catch me talking about, I guess, Big Brother's over, so you ain't got to worry about that. but apparently there's a winter extravaganza coming for Big Brother as well, so you might hear from me on Reindeer Games, the Big Brother thing, and not to spoil anything for any Big Brother fans out there, but it's out there. It's coming out. So check that out. I'm also, doing the Connect. You know, Mari and I just dropped the episode of Rap Shit, recapping the premiere, and we'll be recapping the second episode as well very soon. Jason Reed and I just covered Lawman Bass Reeves.
How was that, Chappelle?
It was a show. So then check that out on the Connect on Post Recaps. We're on
I just skipped 10 seconds on my podcast.
Yeah, it's a glitch in your podcast. Don't try to rewind it. It's fine. But yeah, check me out. Follow me on Twitter at Chappelle's_show and keep up with everything else I got going on.
All right, Josh Wigler, what's up with you?
Rewatching Battlestar Galactica on Down the Hatch with Mike Bloom. It's his first time through. He is unspoiled, and because of that, the things that he is saying are terrific. For me, who has seen the show before, so it's a spoiler-free podcast. So if you've never watched BSG before, you can listen to the podcast, you can watch the show, you are safe. And if you have watched Battlestar Galactica before, then you are probably laughing at all of the things that I'm laughing at as we are doing the podcast together. Also 30 Years Greater, the Movie Rewind podcast that I'm doing with Rob every week here. This past week, we went back 30 years to 1993 to talk about the stone cold classic, Look Who's Talking Now.
The one with the dogs.
Whether or not that's like actually what the movie is, I think is up for debate. I think that the dogs have, like I said, the B story on the podcast. It might even be the C story. I think the A story is like the dissolution of a marriage. The B story is like the dissolution of a boy's belief in Santa Claus. And then the C story is the dogs. The dogs really don't get enough respect in the movie, or at least, considering how much they were put front and center in the marketing. But however you feel about the movie, I think the podcast was great. Very, very good. Very fun podcast with Rob, 30 Years Greater. Mrs. Doubtfire coming next to 30 Years Greater. So
yes.
a pod by fruiting coming your way pretty soon.
Fantastic. And of course, over on Rob's podcast, you can find me every week talking about a much better show than this one. I'm talking about The Amazing Race, of course. And in fact, this past week's episode of Amazing Race was terrific. And we had a really good time breaking all that down. And Rob and I talked to the kicked off players every week as well. So that's happening over there. And of course, you can follow us all on social media insofar as we are ever there, which we are there much less often these days. But you can find me at Haymaker Hattie. Josh Wigler is at Ron Howard. Chappelle is at Chappelle's_show, and AJ is at AJ Mass. We appreciate all of you for sticking with us. We know that most of you are no longer watching Fear the Walking Dead. You're just listening to us complain about it. And for that, we treasure you. So please make sure to check us out for one more Fear the Walking Dead recap coming to you very, very soon. So thank you all for joining me here. Thanks to the panel. Thanks to everybody behind the scenes. Thanks to the listeners. And we'll see you next week for our final hurrah.
Peace.